All right. This is Santi. I'm here with Jeff. And welcome to the first official La Ceiba podcast. We're here in sunny Progreso in Honduras. We're at the SHH office. We're chilling. Chilo and Francis are in the next room. And I'm here with Jeff.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, since we're in the office, don't worry if there sounds like there's a lot of cars going by. That's just sort of what Progreso is. It's busy, very busy.
Yeah, so welcome to this. You know, we're sending this. If you're listening to this, you're in the La Ceiba network. You're in the tribe. And we're just trying out this this podcast idea. I'm basically just stealing from other podcasts, and I've seen how successful those have been, and some certain podcasts have been in gaining an audience and telling their stories, and so we just wanted another way to keep everybody, you know, up to speed, and hopefully you'll enjoy this. It's just gonna be me and Jeff hanging out, telling the Ceiba stories, and you know, giving updates on what's going on and giving our hot takes. On what's going on in the microfinance industry. So we'll see where this goes. We don't really have a schedule or format set.
But I like that, hot takes. Yeah. Our awesome opinions.
Yeah. So I've been here a week. I've been chilling with you, Jeff, so what's been your, what's been your, the highlight of the week so far?
The highlight of the week?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I was telling you earlier, it's just kind of good to not be walking around by myself talking about La Ceiba in my own head, if you know what I mean.
You talk to yourself a lot, Jeff?
I do. Well, you know, part of that's living alone in the apartment, but then another part of it's, there's, you know, I can talk to Chilo, but I remember back in, like, college when I was doing the La Ceiba class, there was always discussion, like, there was always people to talk to. Here, I kind of walk around and, you know, I have all these thoughts and no one to share them with. So, it was cool to have you around it to talk them out with.
Yeah, man, it's been good. So, this is my last day, it's been crazy, man. So, like, going to Villa first, I went to Villa on last Thursday, and you forget how crazy it is when, you get on the bus, and it's packed, right? And they're all school buses for those, like, you know, like, it's like you're getting on it. So going from DC, you're on the 42, and everything's air conditioned and it's clean.
I want the buses were air conditioned here. That would be awesome.
It's electronic, like, yeah. You know, you've been on the bus in DC,
yeah.
Right, Jeff?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's smart trip, and you just sit down and, like, but the other thing is, it's like, it's so quiet, like, it's just dead quiet, like, nobody's saying. It's like the thing where you're going to work in the morning and everybody's going to work. It's like 7 in the morning, and everybody's just miserable.
Zombie.
No, like, nobody wants to be on the, like, people, like, if you, I feel like if you go, like, get up and say something to someone, they're just gonna snap, like, fuck you, man, get out of here. But, so you go from that, and I haven't been here for a year, so this is, like, it's just, like, it's almost like you forget, and then you do it again, and it's crazy. So Thursday, actually, Monday was the first time. Thursday we went to Villa, but we went with Francis, and then Monday was the first time we, like, took the bus to Villa. And it's nuts. Like, it's, you wait at this place, and it's, like, people are trying to sell you stuff all the time, and it's like, I mean, this isn't, like, that funny, but they're, like, 5-year-olds, like, trying to sell you bags of coconut water. And so, you know, like, and you get on this yellow bus, you feel like, you know, if you're just dropped, like, if you transported there, if you teleported from, like, your house in the U.S. to, like, that bus station, and you had no idea where you were, you'd think you'd be going to school. because it's like, it's a school bus. It's just, it says on some of the buses, it says like, District of yeah. San Juan, like
I've read places that are obviously American counties on the side of the bus, like next to a Jesus sticker, and just like it's all tricked out. It's so interesting though. I love how many giant lumbering school buses there are going around town.
Yeah, and that, so the and the Jesus, the thing about like every bus has what like over under 10.
Oh, yeah.
Over, right?
Oh, definitely over.
Over 10 Jesus stickers.
There's like, gotta be, like, one thing per window, and, like, racing stripes, and, like, big flashing lights, not just, like, on the stop sign, but, like, big...
So they make sure that everybody knows that they love Jesus. Like, that's just, like, the rite of passage for a Honduran, like, bus.
The bus has to promote Jesus on each side, on the front, on the back, and on the sides.
So anyway, so you're waiting there, you're waiting at the bus. It's not a bus, like, it's also not a bus stop. It's just, like, where everybody agrees where the bus is going to go. It's, like, you know, like, there's nothing official about it. I guess now they put, like, a little...
I've seen a couple signs.
Yeah, I guess, like, they have a sign, but it's just, like, a gather. Like, there's no structure there, and there's, you know, like, there's no, like... bench where you sit for like bus like passengers who are waiting. It's just like the place where you go.
I kind of like that though. I think it's kind of indicative of like how agreements are made here, which is just very verbal, you know, very like a different trust society where part I think that and that's probably speaks a little bit to like what the Seba does is yeah we have contracts where we you know write out on paper and sign things, but the importance of the interaction and paying back loans and stuff like that has a lot to do with, like, talking and relationships. And I feel like that's the same for being on a bus, you know? People just agree that that's where the stop is. It's not formally written anywhere. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. So you wait there, and then you get on the bus, and you have to ask where it's going, because it's, like, nothing's written. So you have to, he's, like, yelling. They wait there for, like, 5 minutes, and they yell where they're going, like, they yell, Tela Tela, like, whatever, Masapa. And so you get up there, you don't pay anything. And, it, like, I tried to remember, like, the first time I took the bus. I'm pretty sure I did it with Chilo.
Mm.
And it was nerve-wracking, man. Like,
yeah,
you don't know, like, unless you do it with someone... You can never do it. I mean, it would be hard to do it on your own.
Because you don't know where to get off.
Well, that too. And then you don't know, like, the paying system is crazy.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't, like, there's no communication, right? So there's nothing, like, saying that, oh, the bus is, there's no, like, I don't, there probably is a schedule, but it's not communicated to passengers.
But, like, in D.C., like you were saying, on the metro system there, like, there's maps on the bus of, like, where the all the routes are.
Right, well, the bus station has, like,
the
map. And yeah. It also lets you know, it has, like, this, now in D.C. they have, like, those electronic signs that say, like, how many minutes away
they do
certain buses are.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you have to just, like, so you sit on the bus and then just people are trying, like, people go through selling you all kinds of stuff. Like, they'll sell you mints and they'll sell you coconut water and...
little bags of peanuts.
Yeah, and then eventually they'll try to sell you, like, medicine. Like, there's always that one guy, and you know what I'm talking about, like, the one...
There's one on the bus yesterday.
The one guy, yeah. And I ignore them so hard every time. But if you don't know, like, if it can be crazy... Like, he yells the entire time. It's because... So it's this guy. So I want to capture it. It's a guy with a... He always has, like, a big bag on him.
Like a satchel bag.
And it, as soon as the bus... So, and you haven't paid anything but at this point, right? Like, you don't know... Like, the bus just leaves the station, and you haven't paid yet, so you're just like, what the hell is going on? And so as soon as the bus starts, the guy gets up, and he's, like, making a speech in front of 60 people. And it's crazy, like, why would he do that? Like, that's his way of, he's, like, giving a pitch, basically. Like, you're trapped there. It's such a, like... it's such an opportune moment for him too. Yeah. But it's also just like, why? Like, this is a marketing pitch. Like, he's basically like, it's a sales. What's it always called? The infomercials. It's basically an infomercial,
and it always
on a
looks
bus.
Like one. You can tell they're selling a product that probably doesn't work, but man, they're trying hard.
So, and it always starts with, "Well, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen." Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen's, that doesn't exist.
No, yeah, it's like, damas, caballeros, jóvenes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, but, and then he's like, pardon the interruption, I know it's very rude for me to interrupt you on your lovely trip, like, I know you like to have you're in the middle of a conversation, like, I'm sorry to interrupt your wonderful conversations. It's like so over the top, and he's just yelling the entire time, and meanwhile, you're going to the place where you think you're going. You're not sure, like, you're on the, like, road to Tella, and he just does his pitch for, like, 20 minutes. And he'll go, so the next thing he'll do is, like, he'll yell, I just, like, tune them out every time.
Yeah.
And he'll go around, and he'll be selling medicine, and he'll actually let you, he'll go around, like, offering it to people to just, to, like, look and read. Yeah. He makes it really clear with no commitment, like...
He does one pass to hand it out, so everybody can, like, read the bottle or, like, look on either side of it. He goes back, and he does another pass, and ended up collecting it or the money.
So, meanwhile, the helper guy... So, there's a bus driver, and then there's a cobrador, which is, like, a...
I don't know if there's an English equivalent. Yeah.
It's just, like, the helper on the bus. And his job is to... help people get on the bus, help people get off, and that means he'll, like, and we talked about this, he'll, like, if you're a mom, and you're with your kids, and you just went grocery shopping, and you have groceries in one hand, and your baby in the other hand, and you need help getting, the guy will actually, like, take your baby, and, like, guide you to your seat, and help you sit down, and help put your bags up on the there's like a little rack always over the seats,
and then
give you your baby back.
Exactly. Like, I'll admit that weirded me out so hard the first time I saw it, because I'm like, no mother I know, like from the United States or like a family friend, would be comfortable with a man on a bus coming out and taking her baby out of her arms like a piece of luggage. It was just so interesting to watch.
Yeah. So eventually, like, the guy, the most important job that he does is he goes and he charges everyone for their bus ticket, right? And it's like 20 minutes into the ride already, so you're just like, oh my gosh. So I don't know. So, but the system works, and all this to say that, so it was crazy. It was crazy going through that again.
Mm.
It brought back so many memories. And it's been, this is like day 8 or 7, I think, of me being here.
Yeah, dude.
And it's been nuts. Like, it's just been, sometimes it feels like I never left.
Good to have you back.
So now I have to do this thing where...
Halftime.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna, you know, our sponsor, or I guess not, just like our mother organization.
The mothership.
So I did want to mention, so, you know... Part of this podcast is to keep everyone engaged, and part of this is... So I do want to take a second to mention our website, and, you know, encourage everybody to go to our website. If you can, if you're feeling generous, no, we don't have any expectations or no pressure, but donate. I mean, our boy Jeff is, you know, struggling to...
Don't say skinny.
He's looking real skinny over here. And he needs some money for food, man. So, you know, donate.
Pay
donate.
Me.
No, but... I mean, donate. This is really important to us, and it was important to you at some point. And donations, you know, it helps loan capital, and, you know, it helps for our salaries, and... it helps the project, you know, stay afloat. And so if you are willing and if you are able, go ahead and donate. There's instructions for how to do that on the website. So lasebamfi.org. And if not, just read the blog. And Jeff has been writing a lot, and Dr. H writes stuff sometimes. So just stay engaged. And, you know, we're trying to do something important, and we're trying to do something meaningful. And I know that all of you have been a part of this.
Yeah, and point. If you're interested about the interaction that Santi and I had over this week, we have a joint blog that's coming out on April 25th. We're going to be writing and working on that to make it really good for you guys to read. So stay tuned for that.
All right. So yeah, so switching gears a little bit, you know, another thing that has been a little bit nostalgic is just, and you know, and we talked about this on our pilot podcast, I guess.
The one that's on your phone.
Yeah. Is Chilo, man. Like, Chilo, I said this before and I'll say it again, like, he's gotten so big. Like, he's like a man now, and it's crazy seeing he's in school now, which is like a real school, like a high school, and he's like, he has a girlfriend who he says he might marry next year,
fingers crossed.
And I don't know, like, it's just been so great to see him. And I remember, I don't know, what are your thoughts on it? You've seen him over the last year. Like, how have you seen him progress?
Well, obviously, I think you met him when he was just so much younger. I met him, I think, as he's coming into this transition. Boy, he's almost 20 now. I think he's 19. And when I got to know him, he was, you know, I think timid to give his opinion a little bit. It's been fun to watch him start being more confident in his ideas and more confident in, like, in his contributions. I think he's really grown into his position the more he's been with La Ceiba. Do you think you see that now that you say he's kind of, you know, older and grown up?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's just, like, he's a good kid. Like, I don't know, I trust him. So I think that's the main thing. Like, he's got all these other, like, he's still a kid, like, he's still immature.
He still makes a lot of jokes. Like, sometimes more than I'm ready for in the morning. I'll come in, I'll be so tired and so, like, not in the mood, Chilo. And he'll just be, like, joking at 90 miles an hour. And I just look at him with his deadpan stare and he can't stop.
So the other day, So the other day, and it must be so, like, fun for him. Because it's just, like, the other day we were walking down the street. It was me, Chilo, and Jeff. And we have this friend Domingo. And did you even get, like, what did?
No, I didn't get it.
Do you still not get it?
I get it now. It took me like 10 minutes of walking to like understand the joke that he had come up with.
So it's like, it's a Monday, and we're walking down the street, and we have this friend Domingo, which means
Sunday in English.
And so Jeff goes, "Oh, that's our friend Domingo." We stopped and said hi to him, and Chilo said hi to him, and we walk away, and Chilo goes, "Oh yeah, his name is Yesterday." And Jeff's like, "What? What are you talking about?"
What?
And he's like, "Yeah. His name is Yesterday." And Jeff's like, "No, his name's Domingo." And I'm just sitting there like, Jeff, come on, man, like, you can get this.
You got this.
And so it's like we're walking down the block and Chilo just keeps making this joke. And finally,
I realize it's a Monday and it just
But Chilo has to like spell it out for you. He's like, "Hey man, what day is today?" And like, "All right, so yesterday was Domingo's name."
This is a daily occurrence.
And then he's like, "And what day was yesterday?" And Jeff's like, "Domingo." And it's at that moment where he's like, "Oh my god." Oh, and Jeff, guess who else I saw this week who I want to talk about right now?
Who else?
So Chilo's doing great, so I don't want to like just gloss over that. And I'm glad that, like, by the way, like, those are the same jokes that he's been making for ages. And it's hilarious. But on Monday, I saw Tano.
Yeah.
And I think I told you what happened with him, right?
You told me, all right, so you went out to dinner with him, right? You and Lauren.
Yeah.
But I got some of the details, maybe not all of them.
So I call Tano. I get here I got to Honduras on a Wednesday. I call him on Thursday. And I haven't talked to him in a year. So I'm just, so I, this new number that you gave me, he obviously doesn't have my number. I call him, and it rings, and he answers, and I go, Tano, what's up, man? Like, it's Santi. And he's like, get who? Get? Like, I'm like, Santi, you remember Santi, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, Santi, how's it going, man? And so we make plans to have dinner on the next Monday, right? So that was like 2 days ago. And, but on Monday day, like earlier in the day, I called him just to like confirm. And the same thing happened. I call him, he goes, who is this? Like, he's like, who? And he obviously didn't say my number, obviously doesn't recognize my voice. So I'm just like the whole thing over again. Hey, it's Santi. Remember Santi, I called you? Like, remember me? And he's like, oh, okay. After a few minutes, he's like, oh, okay. And then we make plans. He's going to pick me up at the office and tell him I'll be there at 5. And by the way, a third phone call. So I go a third phone call, just, I forget what it was. It was just like, confirming, double confirming, because I know Tano shows up late, which he did up and did end up showing up like 20 minutes late, in typical Tano fashion. When he shows up, I get out of the apartment. I'm with, of the office. I'm with Lauren. We both walk out. He sees me, and just like this look over his face of like,
what?
Like he was like in shock for a split second. And Tano's never, he doesn't show emotion. Like, you know, he's like this proud guy.
Yeah.
And so he immediately, like, he just like let himself be vulnerable. It's like he let himself be vulnerable for a split second. And then immediately was like, what are you doing here?
This is your fault.
Yeah. He's like, you didn't tell me you were coming. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, he was like, I thought Jeff was going to show up.
And you know what? I thought about this. After you told me this story, I thought about this because there have been so many instances where I will call him and he'll be like, hey, Santi, how you doing, man? And I'm like, dude, this is like month 5. And seriously, you can't remember my name or change the contact in your phone. And I remember now, I didn't tell you this before, I was sitting at the visiting his school, volunteering for classes, and Deanna came up to me and said, okay, you gotta change your number. Like, you gotta change your name in our phone because he's still doing this. And I did. I changed it to my name. So that must have been what it was. Is like, maybe one of us called from my phone and he's like, oh, well, now it's Jeff. So like, now Santi's Jeff, not the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a
trip. So that's basically what happened too. Like, Deanna convinced Tano somewhere in between my talk with him on Thursday and Monday. Deanna, his wife, convinced him that it couldn't possibly be Santi, that it was Jeff that called him. And so he was convinced that Jeff was showing up to dinner on Monday.
And I told him you were coming. Yeah. I'm like, Tano, yeah. Santi's gonna, he told me he's gonna be around next week. You should expect something from him.
Yeah. So it was great. It was great to see him. We have to wrap up now. But yeah, Jeff, thanks for doing this. Hopefully, you know, we can do more of these. I want to try to keep these to like 20 minutes. And yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully we're going to distribute this and we'll just see where it goes from there. Hopefully people find it interesting and useful. And
if not, I'll probably be listening to it. We'll make this for ourselves.
Yeah. So just a couple things that I want to mention. A couple things coming up for all of you listening. $2 challenge starts on April 4th. It's from April 4th to April 8th.
Woo!
You can go to $2challenge.org and you can take the challenge or you can just follow it and read. There's a lot of great writing on there about, you know, issues of poverty and our role. And Dr. H has done a great job of organizing this. Dr. H also organized a huddle, or something called a huddle. So it's like this online talk, basically.
Kind of like a conference.
Yeah, a conference, but it's all online, and there are going to be some really great speakers. So the lineup, last I checked, was Rebecca Adamson, Tobias Denskus, Jennifer Lentfer, Linda Raftree, and it looks like possibly Dr. H. And they're going to do one each day from April 4th to April 8th for about an hour, and you can watch them do their thing online. And they're all, I don't know if you guys have heard of them, but they're all really thoughtful, really interesting thought leaders in this space, in the space of development and in economics. And so they have a lot of really interesting things to say. It's $55 to register. You can go to huddleforglobalchange.com. The title of the huddle is The Huddle for Global Change, Thinking Critically About Economic Development. So yeah, the other thing I want to mention is Month of Microfinance is coming up. So it starts April 1st, and it goes the entire month. And we have, the first week, we have a lot of great blogs lined up. So Sam Bailey Harris, Chris Dunford, Chad Jordan, James Militzer, looks like, are all going to have all contributed blogs that we're going to release on the first week. So if you're interested in just learning about microfinance, seeing what all the thought leaders in microfinance have to say, go to monthofmicrofinance.org. Follow us on Twitter, just type in Month of Microfinance, and Facebook. And a lot of great stuff going on. There's going to be posts if you're a student and you're interested in internships or jobs in microfinance. There's going to be lots of great postings there. We're doing a video contest. We're doing a poem contest. Yeah, so it's going to be great. Jeff, do you have anything to plug?
One thing to plug, client-centered manifesto. If you're wondering what that means, obviously there's a lot of talk in microfinance and especially in LaSaba about being client-centered. And what LaSaba wants to produce is sort of an explanation of that, a manifesto detailing what client-centered means to us. We're working on it right now, and it's scheduled to come out on April 18th. And we would really appreciate you guys just looking over it or just seeing what it is, because like a lot of us know, being focused on the client is not only important in the small stuff, but also in the large-scale conversations of development. So we want to add our voice to that, coming out on April 18th.
All right, and where can the people read your stuff, Jeff? Where can they follow you?
They can follow us at lasabamfi.org or by our Twitter handle, lasabamfi. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. You should come check us out. We're producing a lot of good content right now. And trying to focus it all on the client.
All right, great. So that concludes our first podcast.
Cheers, man.
Yeah, thanks for listening, and talk to you soon, Jeff.
All right.